Blog Talk Radio. And we are live for Fan for Racing NASCAR Weekend Preview. This is Thursday night, August the 24th, and hopefully we've got a very interesting show lined up for everyone tonight. Now joining me for our show tonight is our co-host, Jay M.J. Huseman. Welcome to the show, Jay.
Thank you, Sharon.
Really looking forward to the show tonight. We've got a guest that will be joining us along with our previews. It's kind of a short list of previews for tonight's show, Jay, because the Monster Energy Cup Series is off this weekend. So is the Camping World Truck Series, and so is K&N Pro Series East. So of the six races that we normally preview, there's only going to be three of those races to preview tonight. So I thought it'd be a good night for us to bring a guest in. And so we're going to start out by previewing the K&N Pro Series that will be racing. That's the West that is going to be racing this weekend out in Oregon at Douglas County Speedway. We'll also give you some updates from the K&N Pro Series East and the NASCAR Camping World Truck Series during this first half hour. At 9 o'clock, our guest comes on board. Austin Wayne Self is racing with AM Racing in the Camping World Truck Series this season, and he's going to be returning back to the ARCA Racing Series this weekend, specifically to race at Road America. And that's in preparation for the Camping World Truck Series that will be racing at Canadian Tire Motorsports Park in a few weeks. So definitely looking forward to talking to Austin Wayne Self and his return back to the ARCA Racing Series this weekend at Road America. We'll probably get at the end of that interview, we'll get started with our Xfinity Series preview at Road America, and then we'll get into some updates with the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series. They're not racing, as I mentioned earlier, this weekend, but we'll give you some updates. And then I want you to stay tuned because I have kind of a special announcement that we'll be giving at the end of tonight's show. And we have a guest that will be joining us for that. So definitely looking forward to sharing some good news with everybody at the end of the show tonight. So with that, Jay, let's go ahead and get started with the K&N Pro Series racing out in Oregon at Roseburg, Oregon this weekend at Douglas County Speedway. This has been such a tight race between two drivers at the K&N West, Todd Gilliland and Chris Eggleston. And it's just amazing what these two drivers have done.
Yeah, without a doubt. Again, we've talked about this for a couple weeks now. This points battle here is closed within 2 points. Just unbelievable, and I look for it to continue this weekend out there in Oregon.
Absolutely. Chris Eggleston is from Erie, Colorado. He won the last time out at Washington's Evergreen Speedway from the pole. It was his fourth win of the season, moving him to just, as you mentioned, 2 points. Of the K&N Pro Series West leader, Todd Gilliland, with just 4 races left to run. It was, as I mentioned, the 4th win for Eggleston. He's seeking his 2nd career series champion. Gilliland is also a series career champion, and he has 5 wins this season and has led a race high 114 laps at Roseburg last year. So he could be one of the favorites, but I'm not going to count Eggleston out at this point.
No, you can't ever count him out. And following that, you got Derek Crouse and Will Rogers, third and fourth in points as rookies, and they're only 1 point apart, followed by Michael Self, 15 behind that, in fifth place in points. So the points here are really, really tight throughout this series. I'm impressed with that as far as how closely these positions are.
Absolutely, and how well these rookies are running along with the veterans of this sport. Two champions competing with one another for their second championship, and two rookies competing for that title as we head into this race this weekend. So there's a lot to look forward to here at Douglas County Speedway this weekend. And I want to urge fans, if you get a chance to get out there to the track and watch this race, get out there, fill up those stands, and watch these guys go head-to-head, because it certainly is exciting. Now then, let's talk about the track just a little bit itself. Douglas County is a 0.37-mile facility. It's located inside Douglas County Fairgrounds. It features a historic covered grandstand, which is a little bit unique. They hosted their first Can-Am Pro Series West race back in 1966. And now, after a five-year absence from the track, the Can-Am Pro Series, they returned last year in a race that was won by Ryan Partridge, who became the series' 10th different winner all time at Roseburg. So that's kind of an interesting factor. Ryan Partridge is not racing this year, so he's not there to defend his title, so to say. But you know that these two guys that we've been talking about are definitely going to go out there and contend for this title for sure. And who's going to have the upper hand when they leave the racetrack at the end of the night? Now, let me just this race is taking place Saturday, August the 26th, 8 p.m. Pacific time. So that's going to be 11 p.m. Eastern time. But set your DVRs for Saturday, September the 2nd, 8:30 p.m. Eastern time, because that's when they will air this race on NBC Sports Network. So definitely take a look at that.
Talking about Chris Eggleston, Todd Gilliland, and then you had Derek Krause in that as part of the Bill McAnally team. Prior to last year's win by, as you mentioned, Ryan Partridge, Bill McAnally Racing had won five consecutive races there at the track, starting back in 06 with Peyton Sellers, Brian Eichler in 2007, and then Eric Holmes won the next three consecutive races, making him the only three-time winner in series history at the track. So the track itself favors that team.
Absolutely. I'm not sure if I just lost you. It sounded like it cut off a little bit. Are you still there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Oh, okay. Good deal. Absolutely. That Bill McAnally Racing has been so strong in that series. And as you mentioned, at that track, one of the key things about Douglas County Speedway, his starting position has definitely been a key to the success of the drivers at that track. Half of the 14 series races in the history of that track have been won from the pole, while three others, including each of the last two, have been won from the outside of the front row. So starting up in that front row is where all of these drivers want to be at the start of this race, because it sounds to me like it's a difficult track to pass at. No driver has ever won at Roseburg from outside the top five starting positions. So definitely something for fans to keep their eye on as they take a look at this race. Jack McCoy, 1966, Johnny Steele in 1968 are the only drivers to win from further back than fourth, and both of those drivers started from that fifth starting spot. So definitely another interesting tidbit about this race.
Yeah, that puts us at a disadvantage, because we pick our race winners before we get to see them qualify, huh?
Yeah, definitely. But I think we're going to do all right.
Now, as we talked about the rookie battle, the points for the rookie standings themselves is different. As I mentioned, they're only 1 point apart in the overall point standings. Within the rookie point standings, though, Derek Krause holds only a 5-point advantage over Will Rogers in those standings, versus just the third or 1 point between third and fourth in the overall standings. Rogers has more top fives with 6 and more top tens with 8 than Krause, though Krause has finished second on 3 different occasions at California's Kern County Raceway Park, Washington Spokane County Raceway, and Colorado National Speedway. And he's knocking on the door of that first West Series win. So that, like I said, that's a separate battle that is always interesting to watch. And again, either one of those could come out with a win. You know, Will Rogers had his second place finish out there on the road course. So he's right there as well.
Now, a lot of folks out there on the West Coast are familiar with this next name that I'm going to be bringing up as well. Buddy Shepard, he's a Bakersfield, California driver. He's making his fourth career appearance in the Can-Am Pro Series West, and he's going to be piloting the number 27 for Jefferson Pitts Racing this weekend at Roseburg. Shepard has 2 career top fives in 3 Can-Am West starts, including a career best finish of 3rd at Idaho's Meridian Speedway in 2015. In his short track I'm having trouble talking tonight. In his short track career, the 17-year-old driver already has nearly 60 career wins combined, both in asphalt and dirt competition. And this summer, he's already won in the pro late model and super late model competition. He's a sensation out there on the West Coast in those series. And to have him come back for his fourth career appearance this weekend out at Roseburg is pretty exciting for the fans out there.
Well, and that'll certainly put him on the list of drivers to watch.
Mm-hmm. What other drivers are you watching this weekend?
Aside from the top two, we already talked about Eggleston and Gillen. I'm sure we'll cover them a little bit more. But Nicole Behar, again, 9th in the championship standings, has 2 top fives and 6 top tens in her 10 starts. Has matched her career best finish of 5th in the most recent race at Washington's Evergreen Speedway. She finished 10th here last year in the her only Can-Am West Series start. So I think she'll be one to hopefully keep an eye on, try and improve on that, at least on that track her career best, maybe even improve on the career best of 5th.
Okay, that sounds good. Let's talk about the other female driver that'll be racing this weekend in the number 6 Sunrise Ford. She's now 7th in the overall point standings. I forgot to mention her name. Julia Landauer is 7th in the overall point standings. She has 5 top 10s in 10 starts this season, which is pretty impressive. She finished 4th in the Can-Am West standings last year, which is the highest finish for a woman in the series history. So this year, she's posted a season-high finishes of 6th on 3 different occasions this season at California's Irwindale Speedway, Colorado, and the most recent race at Evergreen. She finished 5th last season in her only series start at Roseburg. So I look for her to have a better finish than 5th this year. So definitely one of the gals to keep your eye on this weekend.
And then you got to talk about the other Sunrise Ford, the number 9 of Michael Self.
Yep.
And despite missing that season opener, is 5th in the point standings with 4 top 5s and 9 top 10s in just 9 starts. And he finished a season high 3rd at Irwindale in March. Now he's got 6 career Can-Am West Series wins, including 2 at both Minnesota's Brainerd International Raceway and Iowa Speedway. He finished 17th in his only career start at Rossburg there in Oregon, but that was back in 2010. And the other thing would be, in his favor then, would be the car that is from the race, defending race
yes.
winner.
Yes, it is. Ryan Partridge drove the number 9 Sunrise Ford last year when he won this race. So he's in good equipment. We know that. Now then, the 2017 season is the 64th season for the Can-Am Pro Series West. As we mentioned earlier, this will be just the 2017 schedule has had 14 races at 12 different tracks. The points leader, Todd Gilliland, who won the first 5 poles of the season and swept the Twin 100s at Irwindale in March as part of a stretch of 4 straight victories. Gilliland won at Iowa Speedway for his 5th win of the season, and he was the defending winner there, which was pretty exciting to see as well. Chris Eggleston won the season opener at Tucson, and then 2 straight events at Orange Show Speedway and again at Colorado National, which he did last year. He won both of those races, came back and won both of those races this year. Eggleston won the most recent race at Evergreen for his 5th win this year. The Monster Energy Cup Series driver, Kevin Harvick, is the only other driver other than Gilliland and Eggleston to win at a track this year. He won at the road course in Sonoma back in June. And if you remember, it was Will Rogers, the rookie, who finished 2nd behind Kevin Harvick that day. So Will, if Kevin hadn't been in that race, Will Rogers may have been the only other driver to have won, but that was a really exciting to watch, and I think it's going to be exciting to watch this weekend as well.
And again, then you got that third teammate to him. I was going to talk about Derek Krause. Again, it's sitting 3rd in the points overall with 5 top 5s and 6 top 10s. Had his first career pole at Iowa. But has entered now with back-to-back 11th place finishes, the first time he's finished outside the top 10 in consecutive races in his career. And this will be his first start at Rosberg with a career best of 2nd at Kern County in March, and he's equaled that effort at Washington, Spokane Raceway, and at Colorado. So don't count out that third team there at Bill McAnally Racing.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Who's your favorite to win this weekend?
I'm gonna go with Michael Self. I know his finish there wasn't as good as we had thought it should be, but I think Michael Self's gonna stick his nose in all this those guys in front of him and get himself a win.
He's certainly going to be one to watch this weekend, and I agree with you. But Todd Gilliland had the pole last year and didn't get that win. I think he's going to be on a mission. So I'm going to give it to Todd Gilliland this weekend.
You can't go wrong with that. Again, like you said, he might be on that mission, feel like he's owed one.
Exactly. And he, I'm sure he wants to expand his points lead as well. So definitely something to watch this weekend. Now, you can follow along with the race, even though it's not televised on Saturday when this race is taking place. You can follow along at NASCAR Home Tracks website. They have Race Central over there. And it is going to be Saturday night, 11 p.m. Eastern time, 8 p.m. Pacific time. You can look at what's happening at the track through their Race Central at NASCAR Home Tracks. And again, just a reminder, set the DVRs for Saturday, September the 2nd at 8:30 p.m. Eastern time on NBCSN. For that race to be aired on that station. It is going to be very, very exciting and something for you to keep your eyes on. Now, let's talk about the East Series just briefly here, because the Can-Am East, they are down to 3 races left in their season. They will be ending their season at the end of September, September 29th at Dover. Before that, they'll race at New Jersey Motorsports Park. And before that, September 2nd, they are racing at Langley Speedway. So next weekend, we'll be watching the Can-Am East race. And there's a pretty tight race going on there. Harrison Burton has been leading those point standings. But that race is also tightening up. And I think we've got a lot to look forward there as well. Todd Gilliland is second, and they are just 4 points difference.
I was going to say, that means the east side is twice as good because he's got a four-point lead versus the two-point lead in the east that Todd Gilliland has. And here again,
it's amazing.
All the way down, you got those two battling it out for the top two spot. Third and fourth, you have Chase Purdy and Ronnie Bassett Jr. that are only 2 points apart. And then the next two are 5 points apart. So the points battle there between positions, these two positions, it looks like. Again, it's been pretty dominant by the two drivers you mentioned. This series has four different winners. Will Rogers, Kyle Benjamin, Travis Miller, and who am I missing there? Oh, Ronnie Bassett won earlier in the year. I don't remember the track.
He won the opener.
So there's been a couple different winners there. But, again, the dominant two have been Harris Burton and Todd Gilliland.
Harrison, yeah. Yeah, the rookie in this group has been Chase Purdy, who is in third place. He's had an impressive season as well. The two top leaders have had, in 11 races, they've had 11 top 10s, which is just phenomenal. Chase Purdy, who is the third ranking driver and the rookie of this group, has six top 10s in 11 starts and four top fives. He's looking to try to get a win, and he's come close a couple of times. It's going to be interesting to see what he does in these next three races, if he can kind of poke his nose in there a little bit and shake things up a little bit. But definitely a series to keep your eyes on. I want to get real quick into the Camping World Truck Series as well, because they are off this week. We watched a fantastic race last Wednesday in the UNOH 200. Kyle Busch ended up winning that race. The next race out for the Camping World Truck Series is going to be the Chevrolet Silverado at Canadian Tire Motorsports Park. This is going to be a fun race to watch. You're watching trucks on a road course race. That's going to be Sunday, September the 3rd, 2:30 p.m. Eastern Time. Coverage will be on Fox Sports 1, MRN, and Sirius XM NASCAR Radio, starting at 2 p.m. And I won't get into all of the details there, but we will talk just real briefly here about some of the updates about that race, about that series, starting with Kyle Busch, who pulled off a triple header last week at Bristol.
That's right, and that's where he started it with, was the truck series. Kyle Busch Motorsports owner and driver, winning his fifth Camping World Truck Series at Bristol Motor Speedway by winning the UNO 200 last Wednesday night. Forced to the back of the field under penalty to start the final stage, he utilized lap 119 restart to his advantage, riding the high line to thunder through the field and found himself back in the top 10 by lap 136. If you didn't watch that race, you missed it. Again, whether you're a Kyle Busch fan of him or not, his talent is just unbelievable. He went on to sweep the series. Absolutely. I mean, you can't argue it. I mean, it's there. He would go on to sweep, as Sharon mentioned, the NASCAR National Series races at Bristol with both the Xfinity race and the Monster Energy Cup Series race. Is the third Camping World Truck Series win this season for Busch, who isn't scheduled now for any more races in the Truck Series this season. And it's the second time he's done the triple at Bristol. And that is no easy feat. I mean, you talk about the few drivers that have wins at Bristol, to sweep like that, it just blows my mind.
Pretty
it's amazing.
It is. It is amazing. Another driver who started coming on strong here, Matt Crafton, got a second place finish at Bristol last weekend. That's his best finish since he won at Eldora Speedway earlier this year. That was a race on dirt. So now this was a second place finish at Bristol. With two NASCAR Camping World Truck Series races left before the playoffs begin, Crafton is now third in the regular season's point standings and fourth in the playoff standings. His seven playoff points rank him as the fourth most accumulated among the Truck Series drivers this year, with Christopher Bell having the most at 24. John Hunter Nemechek is second with 11 points, and Johnny Sauter comes in third with just 10 points. So again, we're going to see these playoff points make a difference for these drivers as they enter the playoffs. It's the top eight drivers that are going to make it. And Matt Crafton, I think, is starting to come on pretty strong here as the season is winding down.
That's right. In the beginning part of this season, we were talking about what was off with him because he was on a career-long winless streak and, oddly enough, picked that up on a dirt track. But he's still always been right there,
yeah.
You know, top five, top ten. So he's still a player and is obviously going to be a player going into the playoffs running as good as he is right now.
Totally
agree. The higher roads, and it's kind of a play on words there, roads is R-H-O-D-E-S, to the playoffs, to do with Thor Sport Racing driver Ben Rhodes, took reclaimed the seventh place in the Camping World Truck Series playoff standings after a fifth-place finish at Bristol. And he jumped over Ryan Truex, who had surpassed him in the standings a week prior at Michigan International Speedway. So Rhodes now leads Truex by 17 points heading into an off week for the Camping World Truck Series, but he's continuing a strong season in which he has two top five finishes in his last three races, which gives him a total of five top fives and seven top tens in the 14 starts this season. And he's led 122 laps this season, which is a career high for him in the Camping World Truck Series. And he'll look to further that lead over Truex at Canadian Tire Motorsports Park next weekend in the Chevrolet Silverado 250. And he's shown his worth throughout all the different tracks, and again, just continues to build throughout the season. We know he came close to beating Kyle Busch. I think he's one that gets a win before the end of the season because his talent too is increasing at this point.
Absolutely. We've only got a couple of minutes now here before our guest comes on board with us. So I want to make sure I give you a quick rundown of how the points look right now. And this is a playoff picture following Bristol. We've got Christopher Bell in the lead with four wins and 24 playoff points, followed by John Hunter Nemechek, two wins and 11 playoff points, Johnny Sauter, Matt Crafton, and Kaz Grala round out your top five. Those guys are in. The next three drivers do not have a win, but they are in the top eight: Chase Briscoe, Ben Rhodes, and Ryan Truex. The next four drivers are drivers who do not have a win. They are on the outside looking in. They really need to go after a win in these next two races if they have a chance of being in the playoffs. That's Grant Infinger, Noah Gregson, Austin Cindric, and Justin Haley. So just something to be aware of. Our next guest will be coming on here momentarily, and I want to just kind of do a lead-in there of Austin Wayne Self, because he's been on our show several times before. We started following Austin before he started racing the ARCA Racing Series. He's from Austin, Texas, and very proud of his heritage out there in Texas. But he's done a really good job of transitioning through the racing series and he's raced full-time this year in the Camping World Truck Series between his AM Racing and Windrun Racing. They've been jockeying seats throughout the season, but Austin Wayne Self It's not an easy transition to make. And I'll tell you what, these road courses are becoming a major, major part of the racing for all three series now, with the Camping World Truck Series racing at Canadian Tire Motorsports Park next week. Austin is looking to kind of get some seat time on a road course at Road America this weekend in preparation for that Canadian race. So I'm really looking forward to chatting with him about this, and I think this is going to be a good experience for Austin racing at Road America this weekend.
Yeah, I agree, and we'll see that a couple others driving doing that. Again, it used to be back in the day that if you weren't a great road course racer, you could kind of let those weekends just go by and make it up elsewhere. With as we've talked about, points being so competitive, the playoff points, everything else compact into one, you can't do that anymore. You have to be on top of your game no matter what the track.
Absolutely, absolutely. And as you mentioned, more and more drivers are doing this. And I'm anxious to talk to Austin about it. He's here now. So with that, first of all, Austin, welcome back to Fan for Racing Radio. We always look forward to chatting with you.
Yeah, it's good to be back.
Well, there's some exciting racing that's been going on in the Camping World Truck Series. That's your full-time, you've been racing that series full-time this season. But one of the things that's coming up is the Canadian Tire Motorsports Park race on next weekend in the Camping World Truck Series. And you've raced in the ARCA Racing Series before. You were a Rookie of the Year in the ARCA Racing Series. Talk about returning back to that series for this road course race at Road America this weekend and what that means to you to be back in the seat there.
Yeah, I'm excited. Road course is where I started. It's the Canada's always the one I look forward to out of the year. I feel like I got most confidence going into the racetracks over turn right and left. So I'm excited. Getting to go back to ARCA be fun too. I just always enjoyed racing with those guys, and when we left ARCA, we were really competitive. So I look forward to going back and being competitive again. We got 2 days of practice, so I got plenty of time to get the track down, and it'd be nice to get a win or at least a top three, have a good run before we head up to Canada.
Okay, now, correct me if I'm wrong, Austin, but I don't think you've raced at Road America before, even though you raced in ARCA. I think when you were racing there, they had not raced at Road America. Is that true?
Yeah, that's true. I raced at the go-kart track at Road America, if you want to count that. It's not quite the same, but it's got elevation changes.
Okay, but yeah, you have some familiarity there.
Yeah, I've seen cars go around it, and I know good places to eat around here, and I got a lot of good friends. I've been hanging out with a few buddies of mine from the go-kart days, so I've been I know everyone here really well, and I enjoy Wisconsin. It's a little chilly, but I think, like I said, I think with the 2 days of practice, even though I haven't been on the racetrack, I feel confident. I know I'll be able to figure it out pretty fast and find a good rhythm. And we should be, I think we'll have a really good race car. We got Wintron with Kevin Sawinski. You know, they're putting me in the 33 car, which is a very competitive car. So I got confidence. You know, I'm hoping it won't take me too long to get acclimated. And hopefully, like I said, we'll have a good run, and it's a little bit different ARCA series without the segment racing. So strategy be a little different than we're used to in the truck series. But like I said, I feel confident. I'm pretty excited to get back in a road course car and go road course racing.
Okay. Now, let me ask you this. I know you enjoy the road course racing, but are there any other drivers that you kind of talked to about racing at Road America? Drivers that you know that have raced there before and might give you some advice too?
Well, I always bring up my one of my really good friends, Chris Baker. He he every time I go road course racing, I bring him along with me. So he's gone with me to the ARCA races. He came up with me to Canada last year, and I'm bringing him to Road America. He's won a regional championship here, so he got me into the track just to kind of check it out, take a ride around in a car. So I always bring him. He's a good friend of mine from Texas, and he did open wheel stuff, but you know, I'm able to bounce information off him, and so he knows Road America really well, and he's already been helpful since I've been here.
Oh, okay, that's awesome. And actually, you finished as high as seventh at New Jersey Motorsports Park back in 2015 on road courses. So I know this is a great opportunity for you. Now I want to pass the mic over to our co-host for tonight. MJ Huseman is here with us, and I know he has some questions for you, Austin. So we'll go with that.
Sweet. All right.
Austin, thanks. Thanks again for coming on the show. I hope your experience on the go-kart track there went better than mine. I did mine when I visited there, and I didn't do so well on it. So I hope you did better with that than I did.
Yeah, I did all right. It wasn't out. I can't remember if I've won there, but I know I've definitely gotten some podiums there.
With your time on their Road America with the practice, would you describe that as a technical finesse track or a speed track as far as road courses go?
I talked about this with Chris earlier. You know, Road America is pretty unique when it comes to that. And the way he was describing it was, you know, with the open wheel cars, you got the aero and having a package with, you know, what you need as far as more aero or less aero. And you know, because of how fast the straightaways are, through the kink on the back stretch, you know, needing that aero to help you get through that, but also through the technical stuff, taking some of that aero out, you know, to get through there. So it's really got a little bit of everything. You know, the first section of the track's got straightaways with you know, 90-degree corners, hard braking corners, and then it's got, you know, carousel, some fast stuff. So I don't know what you call it. It's just unique. So it's a 4-mile racetrack and it's a beautiful place too. So I don't know, that's difficult. I think there's going to be places where you're better than others and you kind of pick and choose how you want to set up the car to get through certain places. You kind of pick your passing zones and other places where you're just trying to get through there fast and gain on other drivers. So I can't really answer that. I don't know. I'd say it's both. It's got a lot. Very unique.
Again, hopefully fans will check it out. It is a very unique and beautiful place, as you mentioned. My other two questions are kind of about your future. With the current youth movement of 18 and 19-year-olds being signed, yourself being at age 21, do you feel any pressure like you have to secure a ride or move up in any series? Based on that, like, you have a smaller window now to advance?
No, I don't feel much pressure. I see younger guys getting up through there and I personally think sometimes you see some of these young guys get through there and they get there too fast and then they get to where, you know, they think they need to be and they're not, you know, they didn't have enough experience before and then they struggle for a while. Once they get the cup or whatnot, but I mean, there's so many different ways to get to where you're running, you know, in the Cup Series or wherever your designation is, whether it's IndyCar or whatnot. And I don't think there's ever a right way. You know, you see young drivers. You know, Kyle Larson went up through there, and he's already, you know, kicking butt in the Cup Series. But you've seen drivers there that have been there for a long time that are still trying to figure stuff out. And I don't know. There's still a lot of old guys in the Cup Series. So, a few of them are going to be there for a little while, but they got to leave soon. So next few years, there's going to be a lot of, rides opening up. And that means guys are going to be moving up from Xfinity and then those spots are going to open. So I think it gives me more opportunity to maybe go run Xfinity race, a truck series race, and maybe have a chance maybe for a championship or go and run well there. And then I think I'll be able to prove myself driving ability in those series. And I think that'll give me an opportunity. So I'm not really worried. I just, every time I get in a race car, I just go and try to do the best I can. And I mean, that's really all I can do. And I guess have a good marketing scheme. That's probably the biggest thing, but I got a good girlfriend. That's probably pretty good at that. So.
Well, and your results have shown in the talent to be able to jump between series, between trucks and cars. With that, these one-off races, is that getting you more notice and phone calls, you know, from other opportunities, whether it be one race or possibly multi-race?
Yeah, well, coming here and doing the ARCA series for me is just getting more seat time, and that's kind of been what this year's been about for me.
Okay. Well, hopefully we do good. Again, Road America has become one of my favorite road courses, so hopefully you do well there, and that leads into better performance in the trucks going into the Camping World Truck Series up there in Canada. Sharon, back to you.
Okay. Austin, I know that you've done a lot of preparation for racing at Road America, and your previous road course racing has kind of helped prepare you for that as well. Talk about, besides, you know, Chris Baker and some of the other guys, have you done any iRacing at Road America or anything like that to help prepare you for this race? Austin, are you still with us? Oh, okay. The call dropped. Hopefully he'll call us back. I'm hoping Austin Wayne Self will call us back here. The call dropped for whatever reason. And I'm hoping that he does give us a call back, because I was going to kind of get into some lighter things here for him as well. But it's going to be fun to watch him race this weekend at Road America. And we'll definitely look forward to talking to him when he does return. And here he is.
I'm back. So
okay, Austin.
I'm somewhere in between Manitowoc and Sheboygan, Wisconsin.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, you hit one of those dead zones. I don't know how much of the question you heard, so do you need me to repeat it?
I think it was something about going in between and race cars, whether it's a truck and a, you know, a car or whatnot.
No, actually I was asking what kind of things you've done to prepare for the race at Road America. Are you doing any iRacing or anything like that?
Yeah, I was doing a little bit of iRacing, and then, you know, we were having that competition between the crew guys, and I think one of them got jealous of me and another guy. One guy was winning. It was me and him in the finals all the time, and I think he got jealous and cut one of the wires because it quit working. So I haven't been able to do it for a couple weeks, but I've watched some video, and like I said, for the road course stuff, you know, I've always felt super confident. That's what, when I started racing at five, I raced road course all the way until I got in the late model. So,
right.
Like I said, I've always had a lot of confidence stepping into a road course car, and but I always take advantage as much seat time before I get to Canada as possible. So that's why I bring Chris Baker with me, you know, to bounce thoughts around, and then doing the ARCA race I think is going to prepare me a lot. But I think more so, I want to get in a road course car, so I take all the opportunities I can, just because that's what I want to do. I just want to race as much as possible, and I think that helps me. You know, I don't know if I'm always going into it to prepare, or if I'm just going into it because I really just want to race.
Okay, I gotcha. Just having the seat time and being behind the wheel of the car during an off week is always a good thing. So tell me, what are your expectations going into Road America? Top five, I'm thinking?
Yeah, I mean, you got a couple good drivers. Brian Wong is road course specialist, and, you know, he's definitely going to be really competitive. But, like I said, I'm pretty confident. I think I'd go out there, and I think I'd be able to tell you a little bit better after five laps. But right now, my mindset is to go out and win it. So I feel confident. You know, we went to New Jersey. We led a bunch of laps, and you know, I think it was late in the race they had a caution, and still felt like we had a chance to win it. And you know, stock cars, you can make a lot of contact, and that's what happened. So I think that's why we fell back to seventh. So I got confidence. It looks like a little bit of rain in the forecast for Sunday, so that'd be a lot of fun if we got to go rain racing. I enjoy rain racing too. I go in it to win, but I wouldn't be too disappointed with a third, I don't think. Especially against Brian Wong. Yeah.
He's a good racer. Okay, so that's really good. I'm going to kind of change gears here just a little bit, Austin, and talk a little bit about what it is that you like to do when you're not racing. What are you up to?
I'm racing just about all the time. So, I mean, I've been cooking a lot. I think I might go to school to be a chef. I really like that. I don't know. I've been up here in Wisconsin. I was looking into being a funeral home director too. That'd be a lot of fun, I think. I don't know. I mainly spend my time just kind of relaxing. It's like cooking, hanging out at the pool, longboarding. But I don't know. I spend a lot of time. All my friends are in racing, so I'm hanging out at a dirt track. I'm near racing all the time, so that's always a hard question to answer.
Yeah, I hear you, but I'm kind of intrigued with some of the things that you're looking into, like becoming a chef. What's your favorite dish?
Yeah, I love cooking. My favorite dish, I mean, really anything chicken. I got a secret recipe with making like a chicken sandwich or something. I just got the special touch and sauces, and that's, I think I impressed my
girl. I made
chicken wings the other night, and I made some chicken wings. I got some teriyaki sauce, put some seasoning in there. You know, gave a little bit of spice, and she liked it. So I think I don't think she's just being nice either. I think she really likes my cooking. But she's got to clean most of the time.
Good,
you know, I'm not big on cleaning dishes, so a lot of times she's cleaning the dishes, which I'm very thankful for. Sometimes I'll stand in the kitchen with her while she does it, but I'm more of the cooker, and I just pray that she's going to clean at the end of the night.
Well, it sounds like a good match there, Austin. So that's always a good thing. I'm gonna go ahead and pass the mic back over to Jay in case he has any other questions he'd like to ask.
Sweet.
No, I got no more questions, Taryn. I do want to thank him again for coming on the show and wish him the best of luck there, Road America, and into the Camping World Truck Series for the rest of the season.
Hey, I appreciate it. Thank you very much. Appreciate the good questions, too.
Okay.
Thank you.
Austin, we're always happy to have you here on the show, and you know you're always welcome to come back. Before you go, though, I want to make sure fans know how they can follow you.
Yeah, I got Facebook, Austin Wayne Self. Twitter's Austin W Self, and so we do a lot on there, and we've been doing a lot of contests to win tickets. So if you're interested in showing up at the racetrack, hanging out with us, just check out Facebook. We do a lot on Facebook and Twitter, so, and that's all Austin W Self. So check that out. It's like I said, we got some cool things going on. We're always trying to do some more to get our fans involved and getting to the racetrack and hanging out with us. So.
And I know you've got Don't Mess with Texas on the car again this weekend, right?
Of course. Hopefully for the rest of my life. I love Don't Mess with Texas. Has been behind me since the truck stuff started, and I'm very proud to be able to work with them and be a part of Don't Mess with Texas. So, and also Go Texan. Go Texan's been awesome support for me and all the Texas companies that have come on board with us through Go Texan, and it's been a good time. I'm excited. I think I'm going to the Texas Fair this year, so I look forward to seeing all those guys there and hanging out with all the Texas companies in Dallas.
Okay, it sounds awesome. Definitely looking forward to watching your race this weekend out at Road America, and wishing you the best, not just this weekend, but for the remainder of the Camping World Truck Series as well. So take care, Austin, and hope to have you back again before it's all said and done this season.
Yeah, I appreciate it. I look forward to talking to you guys again. Thanks again for talking and having a good time.
Okay, thanks. We appreciate All right. you as well. Take care now.
All right, thank you. Bye-bye.
Good night. All right, that was Austin Wayne Self. He's racing in the ARCA Racing Series this weekend at Road America, and he's a pretty good road racer. As he mentioned, he's done a lot of these road courses from his go-karting days. And he's going to be racing the Road America 100 on August the 27th, 12 p.m. Central Time. That's going to be 12:15 p.m. Central Time. That's going to be 1:15 p.m. Eastern Time. So really enjoyed the conversation there with Austin, Jay.
Yeah, absolutely. Very down to earth. Again, I'm so impressed with. Yeah, we talk about these young kids that are moving up through all of the series, how well they handle themselves. It was very impressive, and like I said, I felt very down to earth. Talking about his cooking, I enjoyed that. You get to get to learn more about the person, not just the driver of said car.
Right. It does make it kind of fun. So, and hopefully our listeners enjoy that as well. So let's go ahead and get started with the Xfinity Series at Road America, because they're going to be racing there, the Johnsonville 180 at Road America on Sunday, August the 27th, starting at 3 p.m. Eastern Time. The coverage starts on NBC, MRN, and SiriusXM NASCAR Radio at 2:30 p.m. Eastern Time. Drivers are going to be racing 182.16 miles. The first stage is going to end, that's 45 laps for the entire race. Stage 1 ends on lap 10, stage 2 on lap 20, and the final stage will end on lap 45, which is the last lap of the race. I hear nothing but good things about Road America. Everybody loves that track. And I'm telling you, these drivers that are going to be racing this weekend in the Xfinity Series are really going to be looking forward to this race as well, because that season is winding down too.
That's right. Road America will be the last road course stop in 2017. They just ran the Watkins Glen International and Mid-Ohio Sports Car Course within a matter of weeks. So they just got this one more road course remaining on their 2017 schedule. And there's four races remaining in the regular season. So that'll be a big factor going into these playoffs. As mentioned, it's nestled in the Elkhart Lake region of Wisconsin, and it's a 4-mile, 14-turn road course. And the track has hosted 7 Xfinity Series races, producing 5 different pole winners: Carl Edwards in 2010, Michael McDowell 2011, Nelson Piquet Jr. 2012, AJ Allmendinger in 2013, Alex Tagliani in 2014 and 16. And for Allmendinger, McDowell, and Piquet, that was their first career series pole. And the 7 events at Road America have also produced 7 different winners. Again, Carl Edwards in 2010, Reed Sorensen in 2011, Nelson Piquet in Jr. in 2012, AJ Allmendinger in 2013, Brendan Gaughan in 2014, Paul Menard in 2015, and then Michael McDowell in 2016. So we're looking at possibly seeing an 8th different winner. The probability is high. The only previous series Road America winner entered into this weekend is Brendan Gaughan, and that happened to be the year I was there. Him and Alex Tagliani, again, there's a little bit of tire strategy. We did have the weather move in, so there's some serious tire strategy between the rain tires and the slick tires, and it was really, really interesting, and again, a gorgeous, gorgeous facility.
Yeah, I've always heard that. It's a fantastic place for racing, and I think the drivers love it as much as the fans do. You know, up in Wisconsin, the Johnsonville Brats are a big deal, and Brendan Gaughan is this week's Johnsonville Brat on the playoff grill. So Richard Childress Racing and Brendan Gaughan are feeling the playoff heat after they dropped to 12th in their in the series point standings. That's the last playoff spot with just 4 races left in this regular season. So I'm sure he's feeling like a grilled Johnsonville brat right now. Brendan Gaughan does have a 43-point cushion over 13th place Ross Chastain in those point standings. But he knows in order to lock himself into these playoffs, he's going to have to get a win. So it just so happens the series is heading to a place that he's pretty good at. As you mentioned, he's won twice there before. So he's looking at the big picture at this track, and he knows he can go after the win at Road America. Gaughan has been really impressive this season on the other road courses that they've raced at this season. He's had a top 10 finish at both Watkins Glen, where he finished 9th, Mid-Ohio, he finished 7th. And a few weeks back, Gaughan was battling for the win in the closing laps with Sam Hornish Jr. at Mid-Ohio before he was run off the track on a restart, but he was able to salvage a solid finish in spite of that. So watch for Gaughan to run really well at Road America this weekend. It's a big race for him sitting on that cutoff spot. In 5 starts at that track, Gaughan has posted 1 win in 2014, 3 top fives, and an average finish of 6.6, which is really the series best, including a runner-up finish there last season. I'm sorry, I said earlier he had 2 wins there. But it was a runner-up finish that he had last year. So definitely keep your eye on Gaughan at Road America, because he wants that win to get in. He doesn't want to rely on the points.
Yeah, and I think he definitely has a shot at it. However, again, the trend is new winners. As mentioned, 4 of the last 5 there at Road America. There was a first-time winner in the series as well, including last season's winner, Michael McDowell. In 2014, it was Brendan Gaughan. Road coursing as a whole in the Xfinity Series has a habit of producing first-time winners. 12 different drivers have posted their first series win on a road course, including the 2 last year, Michael McDowell and Justin Marks. Marks is entered into this weekend in the number 42 Chip Ganassi Racing Chevrolet. The 2 winners so far this season with Kyle Busch at Watkins Glen and Sam Hornish at Mid-Ohio were your 2 winners from the first 2 road courses. But other first-time winners, we talked about Michael McDowell, Justin Marks at Mid-Ohio in 2016. Chris Buescher was in Mid-Ohio in 2014. Brendan Gaughan, we talked about, Road America. A.J. Allmendinger, Nelson Piquet. Boris Said got his first at Montreal in 2010. Marcus Ambrose in 2008 at Watkins Glen. Juan Pablo Montoya, going back a little ways, 07, Mexico City. Denny Hamlin got his first in Mexico City in 2006. And Ron Fellows got his first in 1998 at Watkins Glen. And going back a little bit further, you had Bill Elliott at Watkins Glen in 1993. So in the seven series races of America, seven different winners. Again, Brendan Gaughan, the only previous winner, entered this weekend. So could be an interesting show. That eighth one is a possibility. There's definitely some names out there that could get it done.
I believe so. There's a couple of truck drivers that are going to be racing this weekend at Road America in the Xfinity Series. And those drivers are Christopher Bell and Austin Cindric. The two are going to be competing. Bell, 22 years old from Norman, Oklahoma, will attempt to make his third Xfinity Series start this season for Joe Gibbs Racing. In Bell's first two starts this season, he's posted one pole. That was at Iowa, one top five, and that was a fourth at Charlotte, and 16th at Iowa. His average finish is 10th. This will be Bell's first attempt at competing on a road course in the Xfinity Series. He'll be piloting the number 18 for Joe Gibbs Racing with crew chief Eric Phillips. Phillips last led Joe Gibbs Racing driver Kyle Busch to four wins at Kentucky, New Hampshire, Watkins Glen, and Bristol. In their last five starts together, including his Xfinity Series win last weekend when Busch swept all three of the races at Bristol. But keep in mind, Joe Gibbs Racing has yet to win at Road America, which I think is a really interesting tidbit to know. Austin Cindric, on the other hand, is an 18-year-old from Columbus, Ohio. He's making his Xfinity Series debut this weekend at Road America for Team Penske. Cindric will be in the number 22, which is leading the owner points right now, and his crew chief is going to be Greg Irwin. Cindric will be the fifth different driver Irwin has worked with this season, but keep in mind, Irwin led Sam Hornish Jr. To the victory at Mid-Ohio just a couple of weeks ago. Bell and Cindric are going to be joined by fellow NASCAR Camping World Truck Series regular and NBC analyst Parker Kligerman is going to be behind the wheel this weekend at Road America. He's driving the number 46 Precision Performance Motorsports car with a crew chief Mark Setzer, and this is going to mark Kligerman's series season debut. So that's going to be something to look forward to. I know on NASCAR America, when he was talking about this earlier today, he's pretty excited about being behind the wheel of an Xfinity Series car this weekend at Road America. So definitely keep your eye on these two guys, all three of these guys.
Yeah, I like to see that. I'm glad to see him get that opportunity. Excited to see him back, especially on a road course. Again, something special about road courses. I've become a huge, huge fan. So down the road,
okay,
though, we got somebody making some bold predictions here. Sadler's saying that Junior Motorsports is the team to beat for the title. Now, that's the highest probability to have a driver win the 2017 NASCAR Xfinity Series Championship. And he was quoted as saying, right now, Junior Motorsports has a leg up on the competition following his third-place finish last weekend at Bristol. He thinks they're the favorites to win the championship. We just have to make it happen. But the stats are there to back it up. Currently, all four of the Junior Motorsports drivers are destined to make it into the NASCAR Xfinity Series playoffs. Three of the four drivers are the top three in points, Elliott Sadler currently leading that charge with a 110-point lead over teammates William Byron, who's in second, and 136 points over his other teammate Justin Allgaier in third. Now, both Byron with three wins and Allgaier are two of the series title contenders that have won this season, the third being Roush Fenway's Ryan Reed. So they're locked in on wins. And again, Sadler's sitting pretty comfortable with his points cushion. He's led for the last 10 consecutive races. And not until recently did it dawn on Sadler that winning that regular season can mean big dividends come playoff time. Again, they'll get that 15-point bonus for leading the regular season. So that'll put him back up close to these other guys with playoff points when they come to reseeding. And he's looking for his first series. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Go ahead.
Okay, Sadler's looking for his first series title, and 2017 could be the season he takes it home. With 22 starts this season, he's posted 9 top fives, which is a series most, 17 top tens, also a series most, and an average finish of 8.8, which is series best among the title contenders. And he's made 6 series starts at Road America with 1 top 5, 4 top 10s, and an average finish of 9.5. So he's certainly looking to continue that trend through this weekend and continue on, as again, we're running down to 4 races here before that playoff cutoff.
Okay. Yeah, I think Sadler is right. I think JR Motorsports or Junior Motorsports is the team to beat. And I think he definitely is a driver to watch. The 15 playoff points means a great deal to these drivers. I'm surprised that he didn't know about that, but I think he's going to go after it at this point. Another team, though, to kind of keep your eye on this weekend, though, is Richard Childress Racing. They're looking for their 4th consecutive Road America win. No team has been as successful as Richard Childress Racing at that track. He's won the last 3 consecutive Xfinity Series races at Road America, and this weekend he wants to make it 4 in a row. The first time they visited Victory Lane at Road America was in 2014 when Brendan Gaughan won the race. Then Paul Menard won in 2015. That was a very popular win because he's from that Wisconsin area. And then Michael McDowell took home the checkered flag last year for Richard Childress Racing. The feat of winning 4 or more consecutive races at a single active track in the Xfinity Series has happened 9 different times. The record for the most consecutive wins by an organization at a single active track is 8 by Joe Gibbs Racing, and that was done at Auto Club Speedway. If RCR pulls off the feat and wins this weekend at Road America, it will be the second time the organization has won 4 or more consecutive races at a single track. The first time they did that was at Richmond when they won 4 straight races from 2005 to 2007. So this weekend, Richard Childress Racing will be fielding 5 cars. They have the number 2 with Ben Kennedy, the number 5 with Scott Lagacy Jr., the number 21 with Daniel Hemric, and the number 33 with Brandon Jones, and let's not forget the number 62 with Brendan Gaughan. So I'm going to just kind of end it here and just say, who's your favorite to win this weekend with Road America in the Xfinity Series?
You know, I'm gonna have to go with Brendan Gaughan. Buck the trend of the new race winner. However, I think the trend of Richard Childress Racing winning continues, because with the 5 drivers you just named there, I think any one of them really has a shot. Daniel Hemric and Brandon Jones both were factors in the previous road course races. And I think the number 2 of Ben Kennedy as well. But I'm going to go with Brendan Gaughan.
Okay, I think that's a good pick. Richard Childress Racing, it's hard to kind of go against them, having won the last three races there. And, man, oh, man, you're right. Something's telling me I'm going to go with Daniel Hemric from RCR. I think he's been knocking on the door of a victory, and he's been moving up those point standings. I think let's give Brendan Gaughan the thumbs up for this weekend in that number 21 car for Richard Childress Racing.
Yeah, he's, like I said, he certainly was. It was a factor in the last one. So Daniel Hemric certainly is capable of it. I agree.
Okay. Let's go ahead now and move on to kind of some updates here in the Monster Energy Cup Series, the NASCAR Cup Series, because they're not racing this weekend. Their next race isn't until next Sunday, September the 3rd. They'll be racing the Bojangles Southern 500 at Darlington Raceway. This is one of the favorite races of the year, with them running all the throwback schemes. The race should start sometime around 6 p.m. Coverage, however, will start at 5:30 p.m. on NBC Sports Network, along with MRN and Sirius XM NASCAR Radio. Now, they are going to race 367 laps, covering a distance of 501.3 miles. Stage 1 ends on lap 100, stage 2 on 200, and the final stage on the last lap, which is 367. But definitely a race to look forward to. Again, Kyle Busch pulled off that Bristol sweep. But what about Erik Jones? Because Erik Jones was pretty impressive at Bristol Motor Speedway last week.
Yeah, he got his career best runner-up finish, led a race-high 260 laps in that career best runner-up finish. And he... the race looked like it was his. I was a little disappointed. Again, Kyle's talent, you know, and he knew he was there, though. So the performance followed mm-hmm. the third place showing at Michigan the week prior. So he's headed to Darlington riding a four-race top 10 streak. The number 77 Toyota driver leads Daniel Suarez now by 4 points in the tight Sunoco Rookie of the Year race. And on the season, he's got three top fives, nine top tens, and a 16.8 average finish. With only two races remaining, though, in the regular season, he must win either at Darlington or Richmond to make the Monster Cup or Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series playoffs. I don't know that Darlington would be the place to do it, but with what he's shown improvement-wise, he could be a factor at Richmond.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think Erik Jones is somebody to keep your eye on over these next two races. I'd really like to see him get into the playoffs, if at all possible, but he's going to have to get a win to do it. So keep your eye on him. There's only two races left for these winless drivers to make the playoffs. And of the winless drivers, only Matt Kenseth has won at Darlington before. He did that in 2015. Dale Earnhardt did it 2004 and 2006, and Clint Bowyer 2008 and 2012. All have visited Victory Lane at Richmond. So Joey Logano, who's currently out of the playoffs because his last win was at Richmond, but it was encumbered, but he's also taken the flag there in 2014. So Joey Logano could be somebody to keep your eye on this weekend as well. But as far as the playoff grid and how that shakes out, Martin Truex leads that with his four victories, followed by Kyle Busch with two. Then we've got Kyle Larson with three wins, Jimmy Johnson with three. Then you've got Brad Keselowski with two, Ricky Stenhouse Jr. with two, Kevin Harvick with one, Ryan Blaney with one, Denny Hamlin with one, and Kurt Busch and Ryan Newman and Casey Kane, Austin Dillon, all with one victory. Now, Chase Elliott, 69 points ahead of the playoff line that has Clint Bowyer. Matt Kenseth is plus 62, and Jamie McMurray is plus 58. So again, a lot of pressure on these drivers to make a jump in those playoff series point standings so that they can be in the playoffs. So keep your eye on a lot of these bubble guys going into Road America this weekend. I'm sorry, going into their next race at Darlington.
And one thing to watch there at Darlington is Martin Truex. He's close to clinching that regular season title. He actually could have done it at Bristol. It didn't happen. But he's got a whopping 35 playoff points already. And if he picks up that 15 more, I'm sorry, he's got 15 more than the next best driver of Kyle Busch, who's got 20. If he can grab that 15 point playoff points next weekend at Darlington by clinching that title, that would just add to it, giving him a total of 50. And there's still two stages plus the race win. So, what, 10, 5 each, 10, 14 other playoff points still available. And then, again, possibly adding that 15 points for the regular season championship could really give him a boost. And he has to finish the race 61 points ahead of the second-place individual, whoever that may be. He's currently leading second-place Kyle by 101. So he would have to lose 40 points to Kyle next weekend to not clinch it. So it looks pretty much locked down, but he's been as close as dominant as a driver can be this season. You see, he got the series leading high 4 wins along with 15 stage wins, which is tied for second, with 10 top fives and paces the circuit with 16 top tens. He also leads the series in an assortment of loop. This season again, and I'm glad to see it, his rise after some rough years is good to see, and I'm happy to see Furniture Row build on what they've been building for years. But Martin Truex also leads the series in an assortment of loop data categories. The average running position is 8.2, driver rating of 113.5, and the fastest laps run of 846, which is 15.7%, and laps led of 1,372, which is 20.7%. When you're leading all of those type of categories, clearly you're at the top of your game and at the top of the field.
Absolutely. Now, a couple of things I want to make sure fans are aware of, especially if they're going out to Darlington, and please get out to the racetrack for this race next weekend. Darlington Racing is giving fans an opportunity to enjoy on-track activities Friday, September 1st, for free by recycling any size Monster Energy can. So I'm letting you know now, save up those Monster Energy cans. The Friday on-track action includes 4 practice sessions for the Cup Series and the Xfinity Series, and fans can bring their empty Monster Energy cans and recycle it at the front stretch ticket office behind the main grandstands to receive free admission to the practice day. So gates are going to open up at noon. Gather up your Monster Energy cans and bring them to Darlington Raceway. Now, Monster Energy and NASCAR have really experienced tremendous success when they held the program at Pocono in June, and under the NASCAR Green umbrella, a comprehensive recycling effort has accounted for millions of bottles and cans being recycled annually, and that's thanks to the designated bins in the grandstands, the concourse suites, the garage areas, campgrounds, at almost every track that NASCAR visits. So take a look over at nascar.com/green for more details, but that's kind of a cool thing that they're doing at the track to give fans free access to that pole day, to those practice sessions. Also, Snapchat is launching a premium Our Story at Darlington's Throwback Weekend. Fans are attending who are attending the Bojangles Southern 500 can share their race day experience directly from Darlington Speedway with millions of Snapchatters through a premium Our Story on Snapchat, covering the official throwback weekend of NASCAR. So fans, teams, drivers, everybody near the racetrack are going to be able to share their photos and video snaps to that special Our Story that shows off the best of the visual experiences at Darlington's throwback weekend. So again, something I'm trying to make sure fans are aware of before they get to the track so that they can participate. So that pretty much takes care of our updates here. We do have our next guest joining us now. And Jay, I got to tell you, I'm really excited about this because this person was a rider at Fan for Racing pretty close to when we first started. We actually started in 2011, our Fan for Racing website, and that ironically led into the radio opportunities that we've had. And Andrew was all a part of that. I'm welcoming Andrew Lasky back to our Fan for Racing fold. And I want to thank you, Andrew, for reaching out to us and for being on the show here tonight.
Well, Sharon, thanks for having me on. I do appreciate it, and certainly excited to be a part of the Fan for Racing family again. You know, I enjoyed it when I was there for the first time, and unfortunately, life is in the way, which is why I stepped away for a period of time, but certainly happy to be back and get back to the writing. I certainly enjoyed it the first time around, so it should be fun.
Absolutely. Andrew, let's give our listeners a little bit of background about who you are and, you know, what it is you do and how your racing interest.
So professionally, I fly airplanes. I've been doing so now for 14 years, and I currently work for an airline that does both scheduled service as well as charter flying. So we carry sports teams and things of that nature. So certainly a rewarding career, but my racing interest goes back to 2001, right after Dale Earnhardt Sr. passed away in the Daytona 500. I became interested in watching the Cup Series, Xfinity and Truck Series races on a weekly basis, and throughout the years, primarily a Jeff Burns fan, obviously a pretty big fan of all the drivers and their individual talents. But and being a Jeff Burton fan, that's how Sharon and I became acquainted several years ago. I believe it was either via Twitter or Facebook. And that led to the opportunity to come write for Fan for Racing and be a part of the radio show. And even though Jeff is currently retired and an NBC Sports broadcaster presently, currently following Clint Bowyer in the 14 team, but like I said, you know, pretty big fan of all the drivers because they're all so different and all bring their own individuality and talents to the racetrack each week. And it's fun to write on and follow all these different drivers and their individual stories. And certainly this year has been no shortage of that with silly season and, you know, the playoffs looming and only two races from now. So certainly a lot to talk about, that's for sure.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And yeah, we did meet as mutual Jeff Burton fans. I think it's exciting that you're coming back to Fan for Racing. I know you're working on an article that you're going to be posting from over the weekend with the racing that's taking place. But I also want to mention that we're going to kind of go back to doing something we did a couple years ago here on Fan for Racing Radio. Chris Knight used to handle for us the NASCAR Hot Topic Sound-Off segment that took place at 10 p.m. Eastern right after our NASCAR and Race Talk Review show on Monday nights and occasionally on Thursday nights as well. And what Andrew has agreed to do is to help us revive that again, where we take the last half hour after we finish our regular shows, both on Mondays and Thursdays. At 10 o'clock, we'll have a NASCAR sound-off segment and a Hot Topic sound-off segment, and Andrew and I will be a part of that during that last half hour. And Jay, I just want to mention, it's up to you if you want to continue on with us for that last half hour as we discuss some of the hot topics of NASCAR. during that time frame.
I would absolutely love to be a part of that. I appreciate the invite.
Okay. So there you have it, Andrew. We've got a third party to help us discuss some of the hot topics of NASCAR. Let's talk about one right now. One of the things that came up a couple weeks ago, Denny Hamlin kind of slowing down before he got into the track, that happened at Bristol, in fact, in order to gain his preferred line on the restart. I want to get your guys' thoughts about that. And, Andrew, I'm going to start with you.
I just don't think it's something that can be because it's tough to really tell if a car is slowing down or if another one's speeding up. What Denny Hamlin did at Bristol was blatant. There's no doubt about that. But I just think it's going to be too hard to police. I think it's one of those situations where, you know, if the driver, you know, does that and causes an accident and it creates problems for other competitors on pit road, well, then at that point, that's on the shoulders of the driver that does it and, you know, and the implications that follow. So I don't think it's something NASCAR needs to police just because of the main reason that I think it's going to be kind of tough to tell. You know, in some cases, you know, what's a driver just slowing down for possibly a tire that comes out in front of him or another car pulling out in front of him, or is he trying to, you know, manipulate his position coming off pit road? I think it's going to be a little bit too difficult to discern that. So I think that, you know, it's going to be self-policing in the sense that, you know, if someone causes problems for other drivers on pit road, they'll reap the repercussions from that.
Okay, Jay, your thoughts?
Yeah, I've heard rumor of them putting in possibly implementing a cone, a choose cone, where as you come out, you go to one side of the cone or the other that they use at some local dirt tracks. I think at a dirt track, that's fine. I don't think it belongs at the NASCAR level. And I'd have to agree with Andrew. I think that it's going to be self-policing. If it becomes a huge issue, that the drivers amongst themselves will handle it one way or another.
Okay. I agree with that, too. I think that if it continues, I think especially if it causes an accident or something bad for another driver, I think that they're going to police it amongst themselves. And I agree with Andrew. It's going to be too hard for NASCAR to be involved with that. But I also don't think it's the first time it's happened. I think it's the first time we've seen it blatantly happen. I think it's happened before. And I don't think it's the last time we're going to see it happen. We're going to see it happen again. But you're right. The critical part of this is if it causes an accident on pit road, if it causes another driver some kind of harm in what they're trying to accomplish, then I think the drivers will police it themselves, and I think we'll have to wait and see if that does happen. But I thought it was an interesting thing that did occur and something we could kind of touch on here tonight. Interesting enough, Andrew, Jay, MJ Huseman here, is an air traffic controller. So it's kind of an interesting tie-in there, right, Jay?
Yeah, I was going to say, if you ever come through the Columbus, Mississippi area.
Yeah, right on. No, that's awesome. It's pretty cool to have two people in aviation here talking about racing, too. You know, it's, in many ways, they're pretty tied together. So, yeah, definitely pretty cool.
Okay. Well, again, Andrew, I'm excited about you coming back with Fan for Racing and being a part of our family here. Looking forward to reading the first article. It should come out, I think, sometime early next week. And, Jay, I know you're working on something as well, right? Tell us a little bit about what you're working on.
Still looking at the budgeting of NASCAR teams and the effect of the economy on these teams. I haven't had a chance to run it through a final prep, so it should be out this weekend, hopefully.
Okay. And, Andrew, I think you were looking at some of the playoff implications for some of the drivers after this weekend. Is that correct?
Yeah, definitely. Going to be looking, potentially at the Cup Series and the cutoff bubble line right around the Clint Bowyer, Joey Logano area, and what those guys need to do going into Darlington and Richmond, which is win, but there's obviously some other implications if Matt Kenseth, Jamin McMurray, or Chase Elliott have problems in front of them. So kind of going to be looking at those five drivers specifically, I think, and what those drivers specifically need to do in the next few races to make sure that they're not the ones that are on the outside looking in.
Okay. Sounds like two great articles in the works and coming down the pipeline here for fans to look forward to next week. So, Andrew, again, thanks for being here. We really appreciate you. And Jay, thank you for all you do for NASCAR Weekend Preview. I just want to remind fans, we will be back on air this Monday night with our co-host James Bickford. This is his last night co-hosting with us, and really looking forward to chatting with him again on Monday night. Sal Segala will be returning in September. That's September the 11th, because we will be off for Labor Day for that Monday night show. So just some pre-programming notes there for our listeners. And then, of course, we will be back here next Thursday night to preview the upcoming weekend of racing here with MJ Huseman. Every night, Mondays and Thursday, we start at 8:30. And then our NASCAR Hot Topic Sound Off will start next Monday night as well with Andrew Lasky at 10 p.m. Eastern Time. And hopefully again on Thursday, but he's going to kind of give us our schedule. There are going to be some Mondays and Thursdays that you'll be available and some that you're not. Is that correct? So
yeah, that's correct. But we'll be able to hopefully plan for that the previous month, and we'll know ahead of time so that we can let the viewers know what's going to happen.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Also a special thank you to all of our listeners. And we'll look forward to talking to everybody on the other side of this race weekend. Enjoy the race weekend, and we'll talk to you all later. Good night, Jay. Good night, Andrew.
Have a good night. Take care. We'll talk to you soon. Take care. We'll see ya.
Okay. Good night.